that kind of upbringing, and inspired by Swami Prakashanandaji, who is the Acharya, main Acharya of Chinmaya Mission Trinidad, she from childhood had this desire to devote her life to spirituality. So very early she declared that I'll become a lawyer first and then a brahmachari. So she fulfilled both her wishes. She passed, finished law school, then went to Mumbai, where she did the 2-year course at Sandipani under Swami Bodhatmanandaji. And after completing the course, she was posted in Chinmaya Mission Columbus, where she is the Acharya and conducts regular discourses, talks, and is very involved in the functioning of that center. And so we'd like to welcome her. We are blessed for her presence here. And she will be covering Gyanasar, a book by Pujya Swami Tejomayanandaji. The books are available for sale if somebody would like, for $2. And she will be covering over 4 days, Monday to Thursday, 7 to 8. Welcome.
Hello. We'll begin with our opening prayer. It is an absolute pleasure to be here again this year. And
नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम् सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम् श्री सद्गुरुनाथ महाराज की जय। नाम संकीर्तनम् एंड देन वी विल बिगिन। राम गोविंद नारायण कृष्णा राम गोविंद नारायण केशवा माध केशवा माधव हरि नारायण कृष्णा राम गोविंद नारायण Krishna Rama Govinda Narayana Shri Vishnupada Krishna Shri गोपाल कृष्ण मधुसूदना कृष्ण राम गोविंद नारायण कृष्ण कृष्ण राम गोविंद नारायण कृष्ण कृष्ण राम गोविंद नारायण
कृष्ण
श्री कृष्ण कन्हैया लाल की जय। हरिओम। सो वी विल बी स्टडीइंग ज्ञान सार, व्हिच एज अंकल सेड इज अ टेक्स्ट कंपोज्ड बाय पूज्य गुरुजी स्वामी तेजोमयानंद जी। First, I will just give you the breakup of the text, and then we'll look at the meaning of Jnanasara, and then we'll start with the Mangalacharana shlokas. So the first shloka of this text is known as the Mangalacharana, which is invocation shloka. And generally in invocation shloka, we invoke the grace of Bhagavan and Guru. Because we are about to study, engage in some spiritual sadhana and swadhyaya, we need the grace and blessings of our Guru Parampara and Bhagavan. So to be able to study well, complete the text, to study with the proper bhava, to have the time to study, to get the benefit of study, for all of those different reasons, we invoke the blessings of Bhagavan and Guru. Then the next few shlokas, shloka 2 to 6, describes the adhikari or the student. Who is the student of this text? And as you will see, it is as though describing the journey of a jiva, of a particular person, that he is bound, how he starts to think, then he becomes mumukshu, right? So it describes in a little bit of detail this journey of that individual, how he transforms into the adhikari, how he becomes the adhikari, how he becomes the student. Fit student, yeah. Then 7 to 12, those few shlokas explains the vishaya. Vishaya means the subject matter of the text. So specifically the nature of Atma that we will also explore. And then having gained this knowledge, what is the result of that knowledge? That also is told from shloka 13 to 18, what is known as the phala shruti. So the result of this knowledge. So we see that this text takes us on a journey from bondage to liberation. And so therefore it is such a wonderful text, because it is describing our journey and therefore is worthy of study. So what is the meaning of Jnanasara? This, in his introduction, Puja Guruji, he gave three meanings, and all are equally beautiful. So first he says, Jnanasya Sarah, that this, what is being described here, is the essence of Vedas. It is brief, 18 shlokas. So he has just given the essence of what Vedas are describing in full. The second meaning he gives is that what is the essence of all of our experiences? So this thought that is there running through our minds, what is the essence of that thought? The basis, what is the substratum of that thought? And the substratum of that is consciousness. This is second meaning of Jnanasara. And the third meaning is Jnanam Eva Sara. That this knowledge itself is the essence of everything. This knowledge, meaning consciousness, Chit Swarupa, is the essence of Jiva Jagat Ishvara. So three meanings of Jnanasara. Whichever one you love, that one you adopt. So first is the essence of Vedas. Second is that consciousness which pervades all of my experiences, all of my knowledge. And the third meaning is that consciousness which pervades Jiva Jagat Ishvara. That is Jnanasara. So we start with the Mangalacharana Shloka. You turn to Shloka number one and repeat after me. Aradhyam Paramam Ramam. Natva Bhaktya Cha Sadgurum. Jnanasaram Pravakshyami. Swatmanishthaika Siddhaye. So Shloka says, Natva. Natva means having done namaskara, having offered salutations, prostrated. How are we prostrating? How are we offering namaskara? Bhaktya, with a lot of devotion in our hearts. So bhaktya natva, with great devotion, having prostrated, having offered salutations. This namaskara itself shows our sharanagati, our surrender. Surrender, and here surrender is being done to Guru and Bhagavan. Surrender means humility. That this ahankara is so low. When we do Shashtang Namaskar, right? The whole body is on the floor. In Sadhana Panchakam, in the first shloka, there Adi Shankaracharya ji uses the word Upasrapyata. And that Upasrapyata means you go flat on the floor, like how the snake goes flat on the floor. His whole body is like that. And it signifies that that level of humility. Like that, with that level of humility, I bow to Guru and Bhagavan. Humility is important for us to be able to receive knowledge. If sharanagati is not there, if humility is not there, surrender is not there, then I will never take instruction. Because I feel I know best, that I know all, which I don't, but I feel like that. So it is necessary for us to receive and accept instruction from Guru. And bhakti opens up the communication channel between Guru and Shishya. I will listen to you if I love you, if I have reverence for you. And we see it every day, right? In the world, if I have love for someone, I will take instruction, I will take guidance. But if I don't consider you, you could talk from now until doomsday and I will never pay attention. So it opens up the communication channel between scriptures and guru and the student. So with great devotion, we do namaskara. To whom? Sadguru. To that teacher who is the knower of Sat. Who is the knower of truth or reality. To that guru who is the teacher of Sat. And through that teaching will help me to understand that I am Sat. I am of the nature of Sat. I am of the nature of existence. That is Sadguru. He not only knows that he is reality. He teaches me and ensures that I understand. That is Guru. We also offer namaskara to Ramam, Bhagavan Sri Ramachandra ji. And two adjectives are given, Paramam and Aradhyam. To that Bhagavan Rama, who is Paramam, who is supreme. And to that Bhagavan Rama, who is Aradhyam, he is worthy of worship. And why is he worthy of worship? It is because of that Bhagavan Rama, I have Guru in my life. Without Bhagavan's grace, Guru will never come. So in Sri Ramacharitamanasa in Uttarakhanda, Goswami Tulsidas ji, he writes, Kabahu kakari karuna naradehi det isa binu hetu sanehi naratanu bhava baridhi kahu bero sanmukha marutanu grahameru karanadhar sadgura dridhanava durlabha saja sulabha karipava. In this few chaupais, Goswami Tulsidas ji says that it is very rare, but once in a while, Bhagawan will send these three things in the life of a jiva. He will grant him human birth, he will send Guru into his life, and Ishwara Anugraha will be there. Sat sang bibek na hoi, Ram kripa binu sulabha na soi. Without satsang, there's no viveka. And satsang could never be there without the grace of Rama. And what is satsang? Satsang means I am with my guru only, right? So in so many different places, that similar shloka again comes back in Uttarakhanda. In so many places, we see where Bhagawan only sends this guru into our lives. Without that guru, I can never reach Bhagawan. Without Bhagawan, I can't get guru. So guru is the key to unlock that door that takes me to Bhagawan, that takes me to liberation. In this way, the guru-shishya relationship is a divine relationship because it is a relationship that has been created by Bhagavan. So then Guruji says, having done this namaskara with Lata Bhakti to Guru as well as to Bhagavan Rama, who is worshipable, now Jnanasaram Pravakshyami. I will tell of the essence of that knowledge. And Jnanasara meaning we have already seen, it is the essence of the Vedas. It is that consciousness which pervades all of our knowledge, and it is that consciousness which pervades Jiva Jagat Ishvara. That Jnanasara I will now expound. Why am I doing this? Why am I telling of this Jnanasara? Swatmanishthaika Siddhaye. So that I will be established. Siddha means established in Swatmanishtha. What is my, I will have abidance in that truth. In that truth that I am Atma. Nishtha means abidance. That I am that Satchit Ananda Swarupa Atma. So this is the Mangalacharana Shloka, where we invoke the grace and blessings of both Bhagavan and Guru. Shloka 2, we start with the description of the Adhikari, how he becomes the Adhikari. So it starts with all of our sad state, the description of the bound person, the bound Jiva or the Baddha.
Dehatma bhavo vishaye suragah. Kartritva bhavascha tathaiva karmasu. Satyatva buddhir jagati hayasya. Sa eva baddha purushascha dukhi.
Okay, so this is the description of the bound Jiva. Describing the result of wrong thinking. Actually, it is describing wrong thinking and the result of wrong thinking, both. So it says, Saha Purushaha Eva Baddhaha. Saha Purushaha, that person, he alone is bound. Yasya, of that person who has these four qualities or ways of thinking. So four things are pointed out. He has dehatma bhavaha. He has identification with body. He has vishayeshu ragaha. He has attachment to all vishayas, all objects. Third, karmasu kartritva bhavaha. He has the notion of doership in his actions. And fourth, iha jagati, in this world, he has satyatva buddhi. This world is real. Because of these four, he is dukhi. He is in a very sad, pitiable state. So we'll examine all four. Yes, yeah. That person who has these qualities, these way of thinking. Dehatma bhava, identification with body. That bhava of aham dehaha, that I am this body. And how will that manifest? So somebody says, what is your name? My name is. How old are you? I am X number of years. Where do you live? I live here. All description is of what? The physical body. I have this disease. I am healthy. I am young. Right? All of those are descriptions of body. And the minute somebody starts to criticize that body, oh God, agitation. Right? I feel self-conscious. I have low self-esteem. Why? Because of attachment to body, identification with body. And then I want to go change how I look. Why? Because of identification with body. Right? And body doesn't mean body alone. It includes BMI. But all body, mind, and intellect. So the minute mind starts to feel agitated, I am agitated. If I know something, I know something. I feel good about it. And if somebody criticizes my intelligence, then I feel, yeah. And it is all because of identification with BMI. It is called as Tadatmya. Tadatmya means identification. Okay, so if I identify with the BMI, what's so wrong with that? Because everybody identifies with the BMI. What is wrong with it is that these equipment are all limited. It is finite. Yeah, it is ever changing. It is ever modifying. So what we do? The gray hair start to come, so we die. Right? Or what they do with all these lifting and filling and, right? They do all of those things. Because we are identifying with that which is finite, that which is limited, that which has defect, no matter how much we modify, we will always feel it is never enough. And that is a very pitiable state to be in. Because when will we ever be happy with how we look? When will we ever be happy with our minds? When will we ever be happy with intellect? We could study from now until the day we die, and we will never gain all the knowledge of the world. So we will always feel like I don't know something. Right? When will it end? When will we stop seeking all of those things? We will ever feel like something is missing. Because it is a finite equipment. And therefore, dukhi. I will always be dukhi. And dukhi doesn't mean sorrowful all the time. Dukhi means, yeah, I am unsatisfied. I don't have that sense of completeness. I don't feel satisfied. I don't have that contentment in my life. That is what dukhi means. In Columbus, somebody was explaining, this fellow was telling, the first class he went to, Vedanta Adult Study Group, the teacher of the class said, "You are not happy." And so he was taken aback. He said, "What do you mean I am not happy? I am happy. I live a happy life." And I agreed with him. If somebody were to tell me the same thing, I would say, no, I do live a happy life. I have good parents. I have health. I have good education. What are you telling me? I don't live a happy life. Yes, I know there are challenges in my life, but generally I would say my life is joyful. But it is incomplete. I always felt a sense of incompleteness. And that is the dukkhi that is being explained here. It is not that you are unhappy, it is that you are incomplete. So what is the problem with Dehatma Bhava? It is that we will always keep feeling that sense of incompleteness because we are identifying with something that is finite. And finite can never become infinite. Temporary can never become permanent. So we will always feel that way. So first wrong thinking is Dehatma Bhava, identification with body, mind, intellect, or this the notion of I. Then comes Vishayeshu Ragaha, attachment, strong attachment to all objects. And objects mean, Vishaya means not only objects, it includes people, it includes place, it includes time. Yeah. If Dehatma Bhava is the notion of I, Vishayeshu Ragaha is the notion of mine. Because I will say, this is my possession. These are my people. Right? This is my vacation spot. Right? This is the best time for me, according to astrology. This is a good time for me. Those are all notions of mine. And again, why do we run there? Because we feel that sense of finitude. We feel that sense of incompleteness. Therefore, we go outside to fill the void. And then dependency on that thing is created. Because I go out, I got some joy, I liked it. Who doesn't like joy? So I enjoyed. And then when the joy decreased, I went back again. And again, the joy will go down. So again, I will go back. So now I am dependent upon that object to produce joy. That is attachment. When I depend on objects, people, place, etc., to bring me happiness. Third, karmasu kartritva bhavaha. Kartritva bhava means the notion of doership. So first we saw the notion of I, then we saw the notion of my, and now the notion of doership in action. Karitritva bhava. But it is not only doership in action. It includes enjoyership in the result as well. So bhoktritva bhava is also, to be understood. So when I perform an action, I do this. When I get the result, I enjoy it. And suffer also, right? Bhoktritva bhava is not only joy, is not only enjoyment, it is any kind of experience that I gain from that result. This point is going to come up in the fourth shloka, but karma yoga is the remedy for kartritva bhava and bhoktritva bhava. Karma yoga is the cure for the notions of doership and enjoyership. Why or how? Because there are two aspects to karma yoga. in performing the action, we offer that action to God. Ishwara Arpana Buddhi. If I offer the action to God, then how can I say I performed? Right? It is offered, it is given, it is no longer mine. When you give a present to someone, do you claim ownership over that present? No. You give it and you give it freely, I would hope. Right? You let it go. You let go of the ownership of that present, of that gift. Like that, we offer the action, so we have to let go the ownership of the action. In that way, Ishwara Arpana Buddhi, offering the action to Bhagavan, treats Kartritva Bhava. It treats notion of doership in the action. And then, when Bhagavan blesses us with the result of that action, the second aspect of karma yoga is prasada buddhi, that I accept this result as prasada. When we receive prasada, the attitude with which we receive prasad is what? Whatever is given, I will take. How much is given, how good it tastes, how good it looks, it doesn't matter. Whatever is given, that I will accept. So we don't complain about prasad. We don't complain about how it tastes. We don't complain, oh, I didn't get enough prasad. Right? Whatever is given, we accept. That lack of complaining will reduce, or that acceptance of the prasad, of the result, will reduce the bhoktritva bhava. Because I am not focused on enjoying the result anymore, I am focused on receiving this result as prasad from Bhagavan. So my focus is on Bhagavan, not on the result. In Ishwara Arpana Buddhi, in offering the action, my attention again is on Bhagavan. It is not on the action. In this way, karma yoga treats both doership and enjoyership. Offering actions to God treats the doership. Receiving the prasad, or receiving the result as prasad, treats the enjoyership. The third, Dehatma Bhava, notion of I, Vishayeshu Ragaha, attachment to objects, which is the notion of mine. Karitritva bhavaha, the notion of doership and enjoyership, and tatha eva, and also iha jagati, in this world, satyatva buddhi, this fellow thinks this world is real. So anything that happens in the world, anything that happens to him, he thinks it is actually happening. So something good happens, my life is bliss. Something bad happens, oh God, I'm suffering. Because this fellow thinks it is actually happening. The way we feel in dream also, right? When the dream is happening, I actually think it is really happening. It is only when I wake up, then I realize, oh, it was only a dream. It was never real. And because he has this type of thinking, this wrong thinking, the result of that wrong thinking is dukkha. I am unhappy, or what I explained earlier, it is a sense of incompleteness, a sense of finitude. Now, You think practically. Which person or thing, any being who is bound is ever joyful? Nobody. Nobody will ever be joyful if they are bound. Look at slavery. All they were wanting is freedom, right? All the animals in the zoo, they could never be happy, right? You go to the zoo and they look like they're so depressed, man. You can't even enjoy the animals in the zoo, really, because they feel you look at them and they feel like they're depressed. You could tell that they're not living a full life. They're not moving, they're not hunting, they're not running. So they're always lying down. No being who is bound could ever be joyful. So this fellow is always dukkhi. This is the state of the jiva. Then he says, you know what? I can't live like this. So he starts to think. And how is he thinking? That is being described in the third shloka. Repeat. Praptamaya lokamanya prasiddhihi. Bhogopi bhuktascha dhanam tathahi labdham sukham naiva maya kadapi. Muktim hi vancham yadhuna mumukshuhu. Vancham yadhuna
So.
So he starts to do thinking. What is he saying? Maya lokamanya prasiddhi prapta. Lokamanya in this world, maya prasiddhihi prapta. I have all worldly success. Fame, name, material wealth, status, everything that we consider to be success in the world, he says, I have that. I don't want any of that anymore. Means I'm not looking for it. I already have it. Bhogaha api bhuktaha cha. All bhogas, all enjoyment, bhuktaha. I have enjoyed. I have experienced. Going everywhere, going to cruise and different countries, and I enjoyed. I had a good life. Dhanam tathai. I even have wealth, lot of it, land, money. However you classify wealth, I have that. What is known as artha in the four purusharthas, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. He says, I have all three, dharma, artha, kama. I have done my duty. Dharma is there. Artha. I have earned wealth in a legitimate way. Kama. All bhogas I have enjoyed. All desires I have satisfied. So you can say dharma, artha, kama. You can also say the three eshanas. Eshana means desire, the three basic desires. Lokeshana, Vitteshana, Putreshana. So, Lokeshana means all desire for bhoga. Vityeshana means desire for wealth, and putreshana means desire for progeny. All three I have. It is satisfied. And how did he do? How did he acquire? Through sakamya karma. All desire prompted actions he has done, but in a dharmic way. Not through illegitimate means. So he has all of them. All name, fame, material wealth, all enjoyment. But maya kadapi sukham naiva labdham. Maya kadapi sukham naiva labdham. I never enjoyed not even a little sukham. Not even a little bit. I have everything that makes us successful, but I have not had any kind of enjoyment or peace or happiness. So success is there, happiness is not there. Because that sense of incompleteness is there. And he has realized that, yes, these things would have produced some sukham, but it has always been temporary. It has always been fleeting. I always have to run after it. It is never readily available. Who wants that kind of sukham? Right? Then he concludes, Adhuna Mumukshu. So now, Adhuna, I have become a seeker of liberation. I need liberation. I am Mumukshu. I am desirous of moksha. Muktim Hivanchami. I need liberation. I need freedom, like the captured animal in the zoo. I need to run and be myself, be free. In the same way, we should also think, yes, I have all of these accomplishments in my life. And to an extent, they have brought joy. We can't say that they didn't bring joy. Look, last week, and I heard the story twice because I was in two different camps. Swami Swarupanandaji, he was giving the story of Puja Gurudev and the cup of coffee. So one lady, they were at the home of one amma for bhiksha, and the mother of the home offered some cup of filtered coffee, and he drank it, and he says, who says there is no enjoyment in material things, in coffee? But it is only temporary. So we have enjoyed our possessions, we have enjoyed our children, we have enjoyed our success. We can't say we didn't enjoy, but it was only temporary. It was fleeting. Because it is finite. A finite object could never produce infinite happiness. Temporary thing can never produce permanent joy. It is not possible.
Moghasha.
Yeah. Moghasha. We need to realize that. And the earlier, the better. Because only when that realization comes, then we will stop seeking those things and start seeking liberation. Then all of our effort, pursuit, time, energy will be dedicated towards seeking liberation. Up until that point, we will continue to run after the world. and we will continue to get a beating from the world. You know what it is like, and I was given this example in the class today with the student. It is like a baby, right? The baby is crawling, crawling, crawling because he sees this lamp. He sees the flame and it is beautiful and it is flickering and it is attractive. So he wants to go there. And mommy and daddy will continue to pull him back because they know this fire will burn him. But baby doesn't understand that. So he will continue going after the fire until he burns himself. Then only he will stop seeking it. You know what is the unfortunate status of the human being? We get burned and we still go back riding. That is pitiable. In Shloka 7 of chapter 2, this Arjuna says, Karpanya Doshaha. It is a pitiable state, it's a pathetic state to be in. Therefore, Shishyaha Teyaham, I am your student, Shadhimam, Twam Prapannam, you protect me because I am seeking refuge in you. Nobody else could protect me from this state beside you. Realize this and seek liberation. Muktim hi vanchami. Read the next shloka. At least we could start it. Because having decided that I don't want these things in the world anymore, this jiva has now become the sadhaka, the seeker. In Shloka 3, he was contemplating, he was doing viveka, he was thinking. Now he is realizing, I am not jiva anymore, I am a bhakta. He is identifying with God. He is saying, I am a dasa, I am servant of God. I am a sadhaka, I am a seeker of liberation. This is my identity now. So he says, Ishasya daso hamiti prajanan. Tenaiva yukto vividheshu karmasu. Devasya kavyam jagade tadatatam. Pashyan sada karma karoti sadhakah. Okay, we'll just look at the meaning of the shloka. So he is, this Guruji, Puja Guruji is describing the sadhaka. So he's realized now, okay, I have done dharma artha kama, that is complete, that did not give me happiness. Now I am going to seek moksha. This is the actual goal of life. So I need to make movements, I need to make effort in that direction. So where should I go? What should I start to do? Should I start with Jnana Yoga? No, I have to start from where I am at, right? So he starts from Karma Yoga. Now that Karma Yoga is lower, please don't understand that. Don't understand in that way. Actually, what happens is he is still very much extroverted, right? So when we are extroverted, we have to start with that sadhana, which is most gross. Jnanam is the most subtle sadhana. We have to start with that which is grossified, which is karma yoga. Even bhakti yoga, but I mean karma yoga, bhakti yoga interlinked, right? But even bhakti yoga is still subtler than karma yoga. So what is he realizing? What is he saying? Ishasya dasaha aham. I am servant of God. Iti prajanan. I know this very well. Vividheshu karmasu tenaiva yuktaha. It is Bhagwan who is engaging me in all of these actions. Etaratatam jagat devasya kavyam. Etat, this, atatam jagat, this entire world, devasya kavyam. This is the poetry. This is the composition of my Bhagwan. This whole world is Bhagavan's composition. Pashyan sadhakaha sada karma karoti. With this vision, with this understanding, the sadhaka, the seeker, sada karma karoti. He engages in all of his action. With this understanding that I am Bhagavan's servant and this world is my Bhagavan. And it is Bhagavan who is engaging me in all of these different karmas. This is the mindset of a karma yogin. You can see in karma yoga, bhakti yoga is very much present. Because who is giving me action? Who is dictating these actions? Bhagavan. Whose world is this? Bhagavan. Who am I? Bhagavan's servant. So for karma yoga, you need bhakti yoga, right? And once bhakti yoga is there, automatically karma yoga will come in because I want to serve my Bhagavan. So both will always be intertwined. Even bhakti and jnana ma intertwined. And yes. Pooja Swami Swarupanandaji was explaining this last week alone. That when I have love, I want to know. No. And the more I know, the more I have love. What is the distinction? So karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga, they are all intertwined. There are no three parts. There's only one part. Just different names, different expressions. No other difference. Okay.
Narayana, Om Namo Narayana. Om Namo Narayana, Om Namo Narayana. Om Namo Narayana. Om Namo Narayana. Om Namo Narayana. Om Namo Namida Adpu Namudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashushyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om Shri Satgurunath Maharaj Ki Jai Hari Om.